Doctor and author Robin Cook is widely credited with introducing the word medical to the thriller genre. 34 years after the publication of his breakthrough novel, Coma, he continues to dominate the category he created. Cook has successfully combined medical fact with fantasy to produce a succession of 28 New York Times bestsellers that have been translated into 40-plus languages. To date, they include Coma, Outbreak, Terminal, Shock, Intervention, and now Death Benefit. In each of his novels, Dr. Cook covers various medical biotech ethical issues. He chooses to write thrillers as a way to expose folks to public policy conundrums, including genetic engineering, managed care, drug research, organ transplantation, and stem cell research. In addition to the successful feature film Coma in December 1993, there have been numerous made-for-TV movies and miniseries of his work. Cook was born in Brooklyn in 1940. He graduated from Wesleyan University, then attended Columbia University Med School. Following residency in general surgery, Dr. Cook was drafted into the Navy, spent a tour of duty in submarines in the South Pacific, and then transferred to the Deep Submarine Systems Project. After leaving the military, he took a second residency in ophthalmology at Harvard. He opened a small private practice, accepted a clinical position at Harvard Med School, and saw patients at the Mass Eye and Ear Infirmary. Dr. Cook currently works and lives in Florida. Welcome, Dr. Cook. Thanks for stopping by the Book Report.
My pleasure.
What made you decide to become a novelist in addition to a surgeon and physician?
Well, I decided actually probably the first or second week of medical school that that I needed to write a book about medicine, and to, because I felt a little bit betrayed. All the books and movies and stuff that I had seen, which were part of the reason I went into medicine, it seemed to be very different, and not in a good way. And but when you study medicine, especially someone like myself, I had to work at night while I was in medical school. I never had a chance to write a book, and it wasn't until I finally found some free time in my life that I did, and the rest is kind of history.
Yeah, I actually am very interested. With your medical practice and teaching, what is your writing routine like, and how do you fit it all in a day?
Well, I'm very busy. I'm a busy guy. Which is strange because it seems that the more you do, the more time you have to do things because it forces you to be more disciplined, and I love it. I'm thrilled to be a doctor. I'm thrilled to be a writer because being a writer gives me the motivation to research things that otherwise I probably wouldn't. And that's what I enjoy the most about it, is doing the research. Because a lot of aspects of writing is real hard work.
Yeah. Your books seem to be about tomorrow's science headlines, and they're very often predictive. How do you manage that? How do you keep on top of that?
Well, I read a lot, and I read a lot in general medicine. I've noticed, for instance, that the New England Journal of Medicine, which is a really premier medical journal, also really decided about 10 years or 20 years ago that they should be very interested in the social issues of medicine and not just the hard science. And so every issue of the New England Journal of Medicine has interesting articles about things that are going on in medicine, about healthcare reform, or at least the attempt at healthcare reform. And I read, my favorite paper is the New York Times. In fact, for Death Benefit, the origin of Death Benefit was an article in the New York Times about a year ago. I opened it up, and there was this article about people buying life insurance policies from people who are ill and then turning them into bonds and selling them. And I said, well, gosh, that sounds like the subprime debacle. And it turned out it's the same guys.
Oh. So
I said, you know, I have to write a book about this because it just shouldn't. This doesn't seem right. And another reflection of the fact that we don't have the world's best healthcare system, which I have always found embarrassing when I talk to my doctor friends from other countries, and it's something that I've been interested in. It comes up in many of my books. I've always felt uncomfortable about the marriage between medicine and business, and it's been bad for medicine, great for business. So it's a recurrent theme in my book.
Since this came to light both in the New York Times and in your book, what has been done to sort of shut these people down?
Nothing. In fact, I don't think they could be shut down unless the United States Congress decided to do it, because it was the Supreme Court who actually decided that life insurance is equity. And since it's equity, it can be bought and sold. The problem is that what Congress should do is be real serious about reform, medical reform, because it's illness is the major cause of bankruptcy in this country, and it's bankruptcy that forces people to look for other sources of cash, and one of them is that life insurance policy that they've been sitting on.
Since it now costs about $500,000 to get a kid through med school, do you worry about young doctors not choosing the field of medical research and going into something where they can be assured of making a decent amount of money?
Oh, absolutely. And that is a very important issue, and it's an issue that I have addressed in other ways, that economic interests or incentives play too big a role in medicine. What happens is that you get young people going into medical school, and 99 or 95% of them are very kind of oriented towards service and have altruistic intentions. By the time they're finished their medical school, they're thinking about their choices of what specialty, where to practice, and where to train, etc., often too much because of economic interest. We don't produce nearly as many general practitioners as we should have for our system. We have too many specialists. It's part of the reason that it's so expensive. And it's also part of the reason that it's so hard to navigate the system as a patient.
You've had such an amazing string of bestsellers over the years. Have you ever had the experience where you walked away from a book in progress because you felt it wasn't going to equal your others?
No, you know, one of the things you learn in becoming a doctor is you learn discipline. And I apply the same discipline that I do in medicine to my writing. In other words, like I never woke and said, oh, I have doctor's block today. I can't see any patients. When I have free time, I devote it to my writing efforts, and I don't care what phase the moon is in or anything like that. I just do it.
Are you already at work on a new book?
I'm on work on several, and also a new TV series, I'm hoping. And this year, this book is Death Benefit is a little bit late, because I took time out to actually write last year's book, Cure, in a screenplay format.
Oh.
No one has read it yet, but I spent a lot of time on it, and I'm going to see if I can raise the $50 million.
Well, you have, like, these little shadings of what's that guy doing and why. I don't think it's so obvious, and that's what's so cool about your writing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what else is interesting is that it's scientifically correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the book, the symptoms of salmonella are very similar to those symptoms of radiation poisoning.
Mm.
So if you wanted to camouflage something, that would be a very subtle way to do it.
Oh.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.